Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John chapter 12. Shall we stand together? John chapter 12. The title of today's message simply is this, "And did hide himself from them." Talking about Jesus. But if you would, as we begin reading verse 35, John 12, 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would have your hand upon this service. Lord, upon each family and individual that is here. Lord, may we walk in the light. Lord, we pray for our nation. And Lord, as we think of Tuesday and all that will be done and accomplished, may it be done for your honor and for your glory. May your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In verse 35, it says, "Yet a little while is the light with you." As we have mentioned in the last few weeks, as we continue through the book of John, Jesus knew his earthly ministry was nearing an end. The purpose of his coming was about to be fulfilled. In 1 Peter 1:20, it says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Before the world was even created, then the universe had been thrown out into space, it was known that Jesus Christ would have to die for mankind. And just as Jesus was warning them, pastors today warn of the coming darkness. Jeremiah 12, 15 says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" If during a time of peace we as believers have struggled to be a testimony, what will we do when it really gets dark? And folks, it could become very dark very soon. Our world is, is resting on stilts, and those stilts are being hammered at. We see nations that are near collapse. And we think of the United States of America in debt at what, $17 trillion? Can you even fathom that? And we think to ourselves how easily we could go into not just a recession and not just a depression, but a great depression. A few weeks ago, we preached from 2 Timothy chapter 3 about perilous times that are to come. As we talked about darkness, are those perilous times now? Do we live in a dark society where people are lawless, where everyone wants to do their own thing? Let's continue reading at verse 37. "And though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Our nation has been blessed beyond measure. We have lived in, some would say, the greatest financial time in history. We have had so much, and wouldn't you agree, we have much to be thankful? And as we enter November, and Thanksgiving is just a few weeks away, and boy, right after that is Christmas. Have you started your shopping yet? I hear a yes and a no. I haven't even begun to consider it. But we have been blessed beyond measure, and yet who do we thank for our greatness? We pat ourselves on the back and we say, we have done this and we have accomplished this. We need to be careful. He caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He fed the thousands and raised the dead, yet they were not willing to follow him. Our Lord quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, saying that because they would not believe, he hardened their hearts and blinded their eyes because they were not willing to see. He said, okay, if you won't see, then I won't allow you to see. I have in my notes here, question, has he done that to the people of the United States of America? Has he blinded our eyes to what we really need? Folks, we don't need more churches. We need more churches to proclaim the Word of God. We don't need more versions. We need more people to read the Word of God. Well, what we need are for people to be concerned that they are walking right with the Lord. But why are so many blind to the truth? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 5, let me read them to you. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And may I say this, our gospel is hid to the majority of people today. It's hid because so many people who know Christ as their Savior are not in the work of the Lord anymore. They are not out doing that which is necessary for the cause of Christ. They're excited about their houses and their cars and their furniture and their carpet and their lawns, and they're excited about their children's abilities, and they're excited about their sports teams, and they're excited about entertainment. But are they excited about Jesus Christ and what he's done for them? The fact of the matter is, most people would rather talk to you about their house than about the Lord. In fact, many times people are embarrassed even to pray in public at a restaurant before they have their meal. They're embarrassed if someone brings up the word the Lord in a right way and not in a slang or in a cuss word. How are we today? Do we want the Lord to be honored and promoted, or do we hope that people will just whisper about Jesus? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what needs to be preached in our churches today, that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And that people need to repent and get their lives right with God. And we need to see a difference. We need revival in our churches. We need a revival among born-again people who desire once again to have the Word of God in their lives. Let's read verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. If you would look over at verse 46. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father what? Honor. Would we rather have the honor of our Lord, or would we rather have the praise of man? Where are you today in your spiritual walk? We remember the parable of the sower and how some accepted the seed, but for one reason or another, were unfruitful. And one of the reasons today that people are unfruitful is the fear that it will cost them something. We need to make sure that we are producing fruit for the cause of Christ. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I've given you this illustration before. A number of years ago, I was in Indiana at First Baptist Church of Hammond. There we go. Thank you. It's good to have a good wife who knows what I want. And I was there at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Dr. Jack Hiles. And Brother Hiles was speaking, and he talked about the fact that he had gone to a building, and he got on the elevator, and as the door opened, there was Elvis Presley. And he got on the elevator, and I guess he was leaving. That would make more sense, wouldn't it? He got on the elevator, and Elvis Presley was on the elevator. And as they were going down, he thought, I'll never meet Elvis Presley again. And he began to witness to Elvis Presley. Now, we know Elvis Presley had some religious background. Well, we know that he may have even gone to a Baptist church once or twice. I don't know that for a fact. But he witnessed to Elvis Presley as they're going down, hoping that he would have to stop at every floor. And as they got out at the bottom floor, Elvis Presley looked at him and said this, not yet. Not yet. Elvis Presley knew what he needed. I don't know what spiritual relationship Elvis Presley had when he died. I do believe Elvis Presley is dead. Okay, I don't care if they misspelled his name on his tombstone. I don't care if you think he's been to Hawaii out there to the sunken ship, because I guess he had something to do with that monument. But I believe he's dead. And I believe this, if he didn't have his right relationship with the Lord, he's in hell. But I hope that he had a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But how many people do you know that have said, not yet? Folks, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. I guarantee you, when Steve Schwartz went out hunting a week ago Saturday, he never thought that this was his last day on earth. He never thought that, because he went out with the idea of killing a deer to take home. I don't know if he was going to have deer for Thanksgiving. Rudy, is venison good for Thanksgiving? Always good. Very good. May I say this, are you ready to meet your Maker? Have you prepared yourself? Have you prepared yourself? But you notice we skipped verse 36. Now, we read it in the original reading, but as we were going through the verses, we missed 36. Let's read what it says. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Do you believe that Christians should be the children of light? Let me ask you this. In our bathroom, off our bedroom, we have a nightlight. And we have a 4-watt bulb in that nightlight. Is that very bright? It's pretty dim, isn't it? In fact, if we were to turn off all the lights in here and plug in that nightlight with its 4-watt bulb, it would not give off much light. Do you think that's the type of light we should give off as a born-again believer? A 4-watt bulb? No. Should we give off a 25-watt bulb? 50-watt bulb? 70-watt bulb? 100-watt bulb? What should our wattage be? The fact of the matter, we should be shining brightly, because you can't count television to shine it, can we? Oh, we can't expect our public schools and colleges to shine it, can we? No, we cannot. The fact of the matter is we need to be the light, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. But then he said, these things spake Jesus and departed. But the verse doesn't end there. It doesn't say, well, he departed after talking about the light and talking about the fact that seeds must die before they can produce. This is said about him. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And I pondered that. And I pondered it for a number of weeks. And as you know, last week I didn't preach because we had Mark Rogers here. And Brother Rogers enjoyed his time with us. And he says he'll see you again in 2 years when he'll be back. The week before that, we celebrated our 60th anniversary and my dad spoke. And so I have been thinking about this verse for 3 weeks. Why did he hide himself from them? Was he afraid that they would kill him before the Passover? And that's why he hid himself. Was he tired of their insults and constant verbal attacks? I mean, there were those that loved him and there were those that followed him to see what he was going to do, but there was a whole army, as it were, that were against him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the whole Sanhedrin. They came at him again and again and again. The lawyers came and questioned him. They tried to trip him up, and they were constantly after him. Was he tired of their insults and constant verbal attacks? Was his soul disquieted by their rejection? I have often said this. The worst two things in life to do is to be on a diet and looking for a job. Valerie, are you still looking for a job? That's hard, isn't it? Because that word rejection keeps coming in there, doesn't it? We've all been there, right? And if you're on a diet and looking for a job, that's supposed to be humorous there, folks. Well, I know it's not humorous. Rejected. That's hard, isn't it? Do you know how many times I've knocked on a door and invited someone to church and they've looked me straight in the face and they said, we'll be there Sunday. And I'm thinking to myself, what Sunday? Rejected. Do you think Jesus got tired of being rejected? Do you? I mean, he had healed many people. The Bible says he had healed so many. He had done so many miracles, and yet they still would not believe him. How many times people have said, oh, if God would simply do this, people would believe. God sent Jesus Christ, his son. Did they believe him? No. Was he grieved? Rejected means disregarded, slighted, disdained. Jesus Christ. I know as a pastor, sometimes we can feel this rejection. You know, a lot of pastors are depressed. How many of you knew that? A lot of pastors are depressed. Yes, good hands. I'm a good amount of hands. Yes, a lot of times we can be... I said we. Okay, you get that? A lot of times we can be depressed. We actually begin to doubt ourselves. I grew up in a pastor's home. I'll be honest, when I was a young boy, 9, 10, 11, I didn't understand why Robbie didn't come to Sunday school and church anymore. I didn't understand why Otis wasn't here anymore. I didn't understand why Gene didn't come anymore. You say, Pastor, are you picking out names? Yeah, I'm picking out names from my past that I didn't understand. And as a young boy, I couldn't really understand why. In 1971, I headed off to Bible college. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't go off to Bible college to be a pastor. Did you know that? I went off to Bible college because it was in Texas. I'll let you worry about that thought there. 1975, I began working at the church here. That's a long time ago, folks. 41 plus years have come and gone. You know, you think to yourself, Lord, why are we struggling sometimes the way we do? And as a pastor, there are times that I think, I'd like to hide. Do you ever feel that way? You'd like to hide? Jesus hid himself. He knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to go to the cross, that he would be mocked and laughed at, and they would reject him yet again. But why did Jesus Christ go to the cross? To pay for our sins? Let me tell you why he went to the cross. Because he loves Dale Daniels. Because he loves Rudy Ferris. Because he loves Dan Jones. You know, that's why he went to the cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross because he loved Paul Madonna. Because Paul Madonna, if he did not accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, would spend all eternity in hell. And Jesus is long-suffering and not willing that any should die and go to hell. He loves you. But see, we then have to make the decision. Will we accept him or will we reject him? See, when we stand before the God of the universe, when we stand before our awesome Creator, he is going to look to see if we are covered by the blood. You say, what blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? We're going to be singing number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. What is his desire for us? To come to know him as Savior. To come to know him as Lord. But we have to make that decision. In a moment, we'll have the invitation, and you can come and pray here at the altar by yourself, or if you'd like someone to pray with you, we'd be glad to do it. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'll have someone show you from the Word of God what is necessary to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. Give us strength, give us encouragement. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move and deal with that person that needs them as you a Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.